Heroes of the faith. I want to talk about, and the reason why I wanted to do this series on the heroes of the faith is because I think we can all use some encouragement when it comes to remaining faithful in some of these turbulent times. There's a lot of questions. Last week we talked about Abel and his example of bringing the best he had in faith as an act of worship. Today we're going to look at another name listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in that hall of faith, and we're going to look at Noah. How many of you are familiar with the story of Noah? Right? All right. It's amazing how many church nurseries have murals of Noah's Ark painted on their walls, right? I mean, it's cute, right? You got little animals. You got the marching 2x2. Kids love boats, right? Adults love boats, right? But when you consider the story of Noah and the details of Noah, it's not really a child-friendly story, is it? Wickedness was at an all-time high. Violence was everywhere. People's hearts were corrupted, and their thoughts were evil all the time. Does that sound familiar? God was so frustrated with the vileness of people that he decided to wipe them out and start over again. Everyone on earth were wiped out except for Noah and his family. Isn't that a really great kid story? Listen, when we narrow it down, it's called appropriate learning. Kids don't need to know about all those things. They need to know about how God rescues and is faithful. But as we grow older and we mature more, we look into the details to understand more of what God is trying to convey. You know, history has a way of repeating itself. Though God promised never to destroy the world again by flood, humanity hasn't promised to remain faithful to him so well. There have been many historical events that reflect the sinful nature of people's hearts. Cultures have delighted in sin, so at different times in history, more so than at other times. And sometimes the world has been offensive in many ways towards God. But there has also been people who have remained faithful to God all throughout history, in spite of cultural norms and rampant sin. There have been people who have stood firm in their faith. Those who have interceded for others. Those who have shared the good news of Jesus Christ. Those who refused to compromise what they knew to be true. And those who sought to share and be a light in their world. But you know, it can be really, really difficult. I don't know if you have felt this before, but sometimes it can be really difficult feeling like you're standing alone against the tides of culture and the currents of culture. Remaining faithful and obedient when it seems that there is no forward motion in righteousness as we wait for God to step in and return in the return of Jesus can sometimes seem like a long, arduous task. I wonder if Noah ever felt that way. He tirelessly worked on a boat. He was obedient to try to save humanity and animals without ever seeing a rain cloud. And I think Noah can be a great encouragement to us today. Noah remained faithful, and he played what I like to call the long game. And that's what we need to do as believers, play the long game. So let's talk a little bit about Noah. Let me read from Hebrews chapter 7, where we're introduced to Noah in the hall of faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Let's review for a second what all was going on in Noah's time so that we can understand why Noah is included in Hebrews 11's Hall of Faith. So let's just look at a couple verses, refresh our memory. Genesis 6, 5 through 6 says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that," and this is amazing, "every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time." It's what happens to a heart that's not restrained by God, right? It just goes full force on whatever it feels and wants. "The Lord regretted that he had made human beings, and his heart was deeply troubled." Can you imagine how wicked the world must have been for God to have regretted creating man? I mean, this was not a pretty picture. Pagan idol worship, sacrifices, human sacrifices, baby sacrifices, hatred towards the things of God, hatred towards each other. It was a time when every thought and desire that humanity had was evil. Genesis 6, 11 through 12 says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, 'I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both of them and the earth.'" The violence of the world had become so out of control that God's like, "We're done here." I know we often look at the conditions of the world that we live in and the culture of today, and we think to ourselves that things are a mess and are worse than any other time in history. I can give many examples of how far from God humanity has drifted. All you have to do is just spend a little bit of time watching the news, right? Local news, world news. Just spend 5 minutes browsing through a newspaper or online news, and you're going to see that we are a mess. It's easy for us, though, to think that this is the worst time that things have ever been. But throughout the years and generation, humanity hasn't changed much. The human heart is fallen, and as such, its natural tendency is to drift from God. Genesis 6, 8 says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of God." Genesis 7, 1. "The Lord then said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation.'" In Genesis, we see that while sin was rampant, there was one who remained faithful to God. He found favor in God's eyes. Now, I want to say, Noah was unique in his time period, but he isn't unique in history. There have always been men and women of faith that no matter the condition of society around them, no matter what they were going through, no matter what culture was, these were men and women who loved God, who remained faithful, and were able to stand strong, even when others around them did not. And I want to encourage you today to be a Noah. Be a Noah. We're going to look at Noah a little bit more in just a minute here about what made him such a great person of faith. But the first thing that really strikes me about Noah is that in a world where everyone else was following their own inclinations, their own desires, were in essence becoming their own gods, so to speak, worshiping themselves, Noah remained faithful. I know that the world is a mess. I know that many of us look at it and we're just kind of like, what is going on? Things are happening that never I could have imagined. But we can remain faithful and remain a light, standing firm in faith of who God is and what is true in the midst of a world that is lost and confused. Noah remained faithful. He refused to compromise what he knew was true about God. He wasn't easily swayed by whatever the current trends in culture valued. Instead, he was convinced of the character of God, and he stood on what he knew to be true. He was grounded in God, and God saw that and was pleased. Be a Noah. It's not easy for us to be different from the values of this world. At times, we're going to be labeled as weird. And to be honest, some of us are weird. I'm okay. I embrace that. Sometimes we're going to be labeled as uneducated and unintelligent. Sometimes we're labeled as biased or hateful. And to be honest, there are times when people claiming to be Christians have kind of set a bad precedent for those of us who love God. But we can be like Noah. We can be a light in the midst of darkness. You know, Noah was faithful, and you can't tell me that he hid that. Noah was faithful to God in the midst of a fallen culture, a sinful culture. He was building a boat in his backyard. You think people didn't notice? He was able to stand on what was true without compromising. And we can do the same. And we can offer hope in the good news of Jesus. Something to keep in mind, in Noah's day, Noah was the only hope that they had, right? I mean, it wasn't like God was offering to save the rest of humanity because of their wickedness. Today, we have the opportunity to share Christ with others. And if we stand firm in our faith, we can offer people something that they need, and that is hope, and that is the love of God. It is the removal of shame, and it is the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. All right, so now let's look at what made Noah such a faithful man and different. And it comes down to these two verses. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Genesis 7:5, and Noah did all the Lord commanded him. Twice, in just a couple of verses, it is Noah's obedience that is emphasized. Noah's obedience is very significant. We already mentioned that the inclination of humanity's heart was evil all the time. And when the flood comes, it was only Noah's family that is spared. Noah's obedience to God spared the human race. Noah's righteousness was significantly different than the world he lived in. But there's something else that we should also take note of here. Noah's obedience and faithfulness was not something that had an immediate payoff. We live in a world where we're used to saying, if I do this, I need some kind of instant reward. Like, if I do this, then I need to see that it was worth me doing, and I need to see it now, otherwise I'm not going to keep doing it. Right? And that's the truth, right? I mean, look at my eating habits. Right? There's immediate payoff when I eat some sugar, right? There's no immediate payoff when I'm like, oh, I shouldn't eat that, so I'm not going to. The Bible doesn't explicitly say how long it took for Noah to build the ark. But based upon the clues we find in Scripture, we can kind of piece together a little bit of a timeline. Some estimates say it's about 75 years. Some estimates say it's around 100 years. Can you imagine 75 years of hard labor building a ridiculously large boat with no immediate payoff? How many of you would have given up? Listen, yesterday it was so hot out at the yard sale, we gave up by 12:31 o'clock. Right? And most of us weren't building a boat. And I don't blame you. But the reality is, Noah was invested in obedience, and he was invested in it for the long term. You know, faith in God doesn't always have immediate, obvious payoffs. Okay? This is the reality of what it means to be a Christian. We don't do it because there's something immediately in it for us. And sometimes that can make it challenging to remain faithful in the long term. It's just reality of what it means to be human. Noah labored for a long time. During those 100 years, I'm sure Noah was tired. I'm sure he was hot. I'm sure if he had his sons helping him, his sons probably got on his nerves. Dad, why are we doing this? I wonder if there were times where Noah was like, did I make a mistake in what I heard God say? Can you imagine how challenging it must have been? Just imagine the people around watching this. The boat, the ark, was over a football field long. Have any of you ever been able to go to the Ark Museum or the Ark Experience? Is that what it's called? The Ark Mute? The Ark Encounter, that's what it is. It's huge, right? It's big. And that's the closest replica he tried to stick to the measurements we find in Scripture. Huge. You have to imagine that people walking by were like, what is this crazy old man doing? Right? It's not like Noah was on a beach building a boat. Even if they were impressed by his workmanship, they were probably thinking to themselves, how are you going to get that to the water? In spite of all the pressures and probably how Noah was mocked, Noah remained faithful to complete what God put in front of him. You want to know why Noah is included in the Hall of Faith? Because he demonstrated the definition that we started out with in Hebrews 11:1. He demonstrated faith that is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. He had confidence and assurance about obeying God. He stood upon the character of God. And though it took him many years to see the fruit of that faithfulness, he remained faithful. He trusted that God would do what he said he would do. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, there it is again, he trusted God even though it wasn't seen yet. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And what does it say? Through that obedience, through that faith, he became the heir of righteousness. Eventually, Noah's faith proved itself. When the flood rains came and Noah and his family were saved, and along with them, all of humanity was persevered, finally, his faith came to fruition. His act of obedience and faith in God proved to be the thing that God applied as righteousness to Noah. His obedience and faith, though I'm sure at times was very difficult, and maybe at times didn't even make sense, was worth it. Faith is worth it. So what does that have to do with our faith? The world, most of the time, isn't going to understand our faith. And will probably, at times, mock us, maybe hate us, or maybe just avoid us. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." There's going to be times when the world does not understand why we are fanatics. But we can still stand upon what is true. And we can also offer the hope of the cross to others. And maybe they don't understand at first. Maybe the majority of the world doesn't understand, but there will be those who do receive Christ. Christianity, in many ways, is strange. Just think about it. Next week, we're going to take communion. We're talking about drinking the blood of Jesus and eating his flesh. Now, for us, it's become a normal symbolism. But imagine if you did not grow up in church, and your first Sunday, we're having communion, we're talking about, this is my body that's broken for you. Take and eat it. We say that the death of God's Son means life for anyone who accepts and believes it. We say dying to self leads to a full and fulfilled life. Tell me that is not the opposite of the world today. They're like, the death of you and the fulfillment of me comes with whatever, me doing whatever I want, whatever I feel. That's the only way I can be true to myself. But Scripture teaches us if we die to ourself and our desires, that actually that's when we have life. It isn't always going to be butterflies and sunshine being a believer. Remaining faithful to God, especially as we draw closer to the return of Christ, can be hard. But thankfully, we see that it is possible to remain faithful, even when we feel that we're in the minority with our faith. Now, let me just say, I'm not trying to promote an us versus them mentality. It's not us versus the world, okay? And I say that because sometimes people view it as, like, we've got it together, they don't, and they view it as kind of like meh to others. Instead, what I'm trying to help us understand is that when we act in faith, many people aren't going to understand. But just because people don't understand doesn't mean we have to feel ashamed or embarrassed or give up our faith. We can be bold in our faith. We can stand firm in what we believe, even when others don't understand. And hopefully, as we remain faithful, and others will come to see how God blesses us and keeps us and provides for us and how God is pleased with us, it will give us opportunities to share hope and faith with others. There may be things that we're holding back on to faith about. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. There may be things that we're holding on to in faith about that we don't see immediate payoff. but we need to be invested in long-term faith. For years, literally almost a century, Noah toiled without any apparent payoff to his faith. He worked and worked and didn't see a rain cloud. Another aspect of faith that is difficult is God isn't on our timeline. We're on his timeline. But his timeline is good. God knows all the details. He sees the big picture. He knows, or he has a perspective on things that we don't have. We're finite. He is infinite. So though we may be walking in obedience and walking by faith, we're not always going to see how God is using our faith to bring about changes. Sometimes we're blessed enough that we will. And we can celebrate those things. But if we're being faithful and we don't always see the outcome, we can still remain faithful. We may not always see things changing. But that doesn't mean that our faith is in vain. It doesn't mean that God isn't at work. And it doesn't mean that God's going to use our faith to make a difference. I think one of the biggest areas that we see this in, and many of you will be able to relate, is when it comes to our loved ones. How many of you have been praying for years for your loved one? How many of you at times have been like, I don't see a change? When we pray and pray and believe and trust, and we not see much change, sometimes it is discouraging. We're like, God, when is he going to get it? When is she going to get it? We may feel like, I don't know, maybe he's never going to change. Maybe situations will never change. But we don't know what God is up to, and we don't know his timing. Imagine if God had sent the rains early to show proof to Noah. Just imagine. God would have proven himself. See, a flood is here now, Noah. But the ark wouldn't have been ready, and humanity would have been totally lost, right? God, in his wisdom, held off for almost a century. God can move in the lives of our loved ones. He has a timing for them. And he can use our faithfulness to impact our loved ones. We can trust God's timing and can remain faithful and obedient, even if it takes years for God to have all the pieces come into place. What about finances? How many of you have been praying for financial issues? I said that weird. It's the reality of living in this world, right? Maybe some of you have been praying about health. Maybe some of you have been praying for a situation that I can't even imagine right now. Maybe you haven't seen an immediate answer and you feel like your faith is invalid. Guess what? Of course your faith is not invalid. Our trust is in God. And our trust is in a God who has proven himself over and over and over again. His timing is perfect. And we need to remain faithful until we see his plan fulfilled, just like Noah did. We need Noah's. All right, don't start building a boat in the backyard, okay? But we need people who are faithful and who are committed to obedience and trusting God, even when you're not sure how it's going to turn out. So just a couple little short little things. How to remain faithful even when we don't see immediate results. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is you ask others to pray with you. Do you know how encouraging it is, and maybe you've experienced it yourself, when you're at the altar and you're praying, and then you feel somebody's hands on your back praying with you? It is incredibly encouraging. Next week, we have a missionary coming, and he can probably tell you how encouraging it is when he hears how people have been praying for him while he's on the mission field. Sometimes we need others' faith to stand with us to encourage our faith. A second thing is we need to consistently bring our needs to him. Sometimes we pray once and we're like, why isn't God doing something? And I'm not saying that repeatedly praying, you know, we're going to hound God into doing things our way. But what I am saying is that one act of faith is to be consistent in bringing our needs to him. Discipline is important in times when we're waiting for answers. Here's another thing. We remind ourselves of God's promises and character. How many of you journal when you read your Bible, just out of curiosity? I do. You know why? Because sometimes I need just to process what I've read. How many of you have little note cards that you write verses on or something similar? Yeah. Writing down some Bible verses that encourage you and remind you of the character of God is important. Maybe you need to put it on your phone. Maybe you need to put it on a note card. Maybe you need to write it in a journal. Maybe you need to, like, write it on your forehead. I don't know. I said Christians are weird, so. But we need to have God's word, and we need to remind ourselves of what is true, of his promises, because sometimes when we're praying and praying and praying and we don't see change, we may grow discouraged. But when we look at God's word, we can remind ourselves, this is what is true. These are the promises he has made. And God's promises are yes and amen. They're not maybe. Reread them often. Put them on your mirror. Put them on the dashboard of your car. Don't read them while you're driving, though. One last thought. Be obedient in the here and now. Part of faith, and we just got done reading through all of James, is that faith displays itself in action. We don't always know the end. If we wait for the end, we may never get started. But if we do what God puts before us, step by step, and are faithful in those things, then we make ourselves available for God to use us in the moment where something changes, you know? I know maybe some of you this morning have been waiting in faith for something to change. Maybe there's several of you who have been praying. Maybe there's several of you who have been stepping out in faith and you're just waiting to see what God is going to bring of that. Maybe some of you are being challenged in your faith. This morning I want to give us an opportunity to pray for those who have been waiting in faith. And I want to do, I think, a little different this morning. In a minute, I'm going to ask that if you have a need, if you have something that you've been waiting in faith to see, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And if you look around and you see somebody nearby you that has their hand raised, I'm going to ask you to go stand with that person in faith. Lay a hand on them and pray with them. Bolster their faith with your faith. Because we believe that God can move and that He can make a difference.